إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد. Inshallah, we are going to continue the explanation of the book Manhaj al-Salikin by Sheikh Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. Still on al-Aiman wa al-Nuzur. The Sheikh says, when Abd al-Rahman bin Samura قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حلفت على يمين فرأيت غيرها خيرا منها فكفر عن يمينك وأت الذي خير متفق عليه. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Abd al-Rahman the son of Samra, he said, إذا حلفت على يمين, when you take an oath, على يمين, you take an oath on a particular thing. فَرَأَيْتَ غَيْرَهَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا, and you find other than that better than what you have taken an oath on. فَكَفِّرْ عَنْ يَمِينِكِ فَكَفِّرْ عَنْ يَمِينِكِ, expiate your oath. فَكَفِّرْ عَنْ يَمِينِكِ, expiate your oath. وَأَتِ الَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ, and do that is better. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, this is agreed upon by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim. This hadith tells us that we should not be adamant on a thing when we know that there is something better than that thing, or when we are falling in an error and we realize our mistakes, we should not persist on the error. We should do that is better. So this is based on what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. There is a similar hadith from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, when he and some of his people visited the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him to give them rights, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a vow, sorry, an oath that he would not give them rights. Later, some camels were brought to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he called them and he gave them those camels to ride. They left. On their way, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, we had made the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam violate or break his oath, because he had taken the oath that he would not give us rights. So they went back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, oh, we have made you break your oath. You took an oath that you would not give us rights earlier. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm not the one that gave you right. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gave you right. More so, if I take an oath and I see something better than that, I will do the expiation of my oath and I will do that is what? That is better. Similar to what he told Abdurrahman ibn Samura radiallahu anhu, إِذَا حَلَفْتَ عَلَى يَمِينٍ فَرَأَيْتَ غَيْرَهَا خَيْرًا مِنْهَا فَكَفِّرْ عَنْ يَمِينِكَ وَأْتِ بِالَّذِي وَخَيْرٍ. So this is what should be our stand on anything. If you say something and what you have said, you later discover that is wrong, you recant your position and you establish that you feel is better. الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى on some issues he had to مذهب as he said. He said المذهب القديم and المذهب الجديد. While he was in Iraq, he had some positions on some issues. But when he got to Egypt, he changed some of those positions. This does not belittle to a scholar or a student of knowledge. You have said so and so before. That doesn't mean if you see something that is better than what you have said, you should not recant your position. This is the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that إِذَا حَلَفْتُ عَلَى يَمِينٍ فَرَأَيْتُ غَيْرَ أَخِيرًا مِنْهَا. If I take an oath on a thing and I see something better than that, he said, I will do what? I will do kafara of that yameen, and I will do that is good. And this is the advice he gave to Abdurrahman ibn Samura radiallahu anhu. وفي الحديث من حلف على يمين فقال إن شاء الله فلا إنفع عليه رواه الخمسة. In the hadith, it is said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever takes an oath, and in his oath he says what? Insha'Allah, فَلَا إِنْفَ عَلَيْهِ. Then such a person does not have inf. What is inf? That is sin. It's not sinful if he doesn't do what he has taken an oath on. So for instance, I say, Wallahi, I will go there insha'Allah. Wallahi, I will go there insha'Allah. Wallahi, I will go there. This is what? Yaminu mun'aqida. So if I do not go, I have to expiate my oath by feeding 10 poor people, Muslims, or by clothing them or setting free a slave. These ones are optional, as you have said. However, if I cannot do any of the three, then for siyamu salasati ayyamin, I will have to fast 3 days, as we explained last week. So, somebody who says, Wallahi, I will go. Wallahi, I will not go. Wallahi, I won't give you. Wallahi, I will give you. This is yaminu mun'aqida. But the person says, insha'Allah. Wallahi, I will give you, insha'Allah. Wallahi, I won't give you, insha'Allah. Huh? This yameen, this does not count because of the inclusion of insha'Allah. If one does not add insha'Allah, it counts. So one has to fulfill it. And if one does not fulfill it, one has to what? Expiate. And if it's something that is not okay for one to fulfill, then you have to break it. Then you expiate. How this is clear. Somebody who says, Wallahi, I will not talk to you anymore. So talking to the person is something that is good. Then the Sharia advises one to break it, then expiate. to break it, then expiate. But if one says, inshallah, in your oath, that oath does not count, does not count. It happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, likewise to Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam took an oath that he will have sexual intercourse with 90 or so women that were under him. And each one of them will bear him a child that will be fighting in the cause of Allah, being jihad in the cause of Allah. So somebody who was beside him said, inshallah. Say, inshallah. Prophet Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, did not say inshallah. He had him, but he didn't say it. Because he was decided that no, I will do it. He didn't say it. So, after this, those women did not have what child except one of them. And that one, when she was going to deliver the baby, she delivered a stillborn. So this pains Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, he did not say insha'Allah. He did not say insha'Allah. If he had said insha'Allah, even if he had had children and he did not fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wouldn't have watched. He wouldn't have the sin to have broken his oath. Likewise, some people came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking him about some things. And he said to them that they should come tomorrow. So for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal the information concerning what those people had come to ask to him until after our 15 days. He was pinched. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقُلَّنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. So that's why we should learn to add inshaAllah. We should learn to add what? InshaAllah. Even when we are taking an oath, even when you are not taking an oath, I will see you tomorrow, say inshaAllah. Add it. Even when you are very sure that you are going to see him, that is you, according to your own decision, you have taken that decision that this is what you are going to do. Your own decision is not everything. Because وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You may will to do something. If your will does not agree with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing will not come to pass. So we learn to say inshaAllah. So the one who is taking an oath and adds inshaAllah to it, such a person as what has freed himself. If he violates what he has taken an oath on, then he is not what? He is not sinful. Because he has added inshaAllah. Wallahi, I will come to your place tomorrow, inshaAllah. So the one who understands the deen, when he hears what, wallahi, I'll come to your place tomorrow, inshaAllah, knows that what? That oath is not binding on him, because he has said what? Inshaallah. So this is a message there. It says, وَيُرْجَوْ فِي الْأَيْمَانِ إِلَى نِيَّةِ الْحَالِفِ وَيُرْجَعُ فِي الْأَيْمَانِ إِلَى نِيَّةِ الْحَالِفِ. When it comes to oath, we go back to the intention of the one who has sworn an oath. That is the basis. I'm talking to you now, and I want you to believe what I'm saying. or that what I've told you that I will do or I won't do, I want you to believe. And I say, Wallahi, I'll come. Huh? Wallahi, I won't do it. So saying Wallahi is what? The tawkid is to emphasize it. I'll say that. Now, the second person, the listener, I've not told that person to say Wallahi. The one who has sworn that oath is the one who has willingly sworn the oath. So that will be what? Alaniyati al-halif. Thumma ila sarghi alladhi hayyaja al-yameen. Then it will go to the sabab. That is the reason that has led to the oath. Now, at times we say al-yaminu ala niyyati al-mustahlif. Al-yaminu ala niyyati al-mustahlif. This is hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Or, as he has said, yaminuka ala ma yusaddikuka bi'a sahibuka. That is, your oath is based on what your friend, that is the one you are with, what you will believe you on. So al-yaminu ala niyyati al-mustahalif. If somebody asks you to take an oath, particularly the qadi, say serve Allah. It's not based on your own intention, because originally you are not the one that wants to take an oath. It is the qadi or the other person that has asked you to watch to take an oath. So if you take a false oath, so that's against you. If you take a false oath. But if nobody has asked you to take an oath, you take an oath, and the person believes you, even if it's a false oath that you are taking, if it's a false oath that you have taken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one to watch, to judge, particularly when it has to do with what? King of the past. You want somebody to believe that you are the owner of a thing, or you are not the one that did something, things like that. So al-yaminu ala niyyati al-mustahlif, or yaminuka ala ma yusaddikuka bi sahibuka. So these two statements are the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثم إلى السبب الذي هيج اليمين. So when he says oath goes to niyat al-alif, the intention of this one swearing, then the intention, the reason that has led to the swearing. ثم إلى اللفظ الدال على نية والإرادة. Then the word is that points to the intention. إلا في الدعاوي, unless when it has to do with claim. ففي الحديث اليمين على نية المستحلف رواه مسلم. How this is clear? When it has to do with da'awi claims, you claim that you are the owner of something. No, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said البينة على المدعي واليمين على المدعى عليه أو على من أنكر. The one who claims something, for instance, that I'm the owner of that phone, is a claim. A qadi will say, bring your evidence that you are the owner of the phone. In that case, I'll bring the evidences, the receipt, and things like that. Because the one who is holding an item originally will be said to what? Be the owner of that thing. So I'm claiming something that is not in my hands to be mine. I have to bring what? The proof for that. Al-bayyinatu alal mudda'i. That is, the plaintiff should come up with what? The bayina. Wal yaminu ala al mudda'a alayhi. Then the defendant doesn't have anything to say, wallah, it is mine. Huh? Because the thing is already in his hand, and I'm claiming it. So, mine is to bring the evidence for that. To bring what? The evidence. Evidence may be two witnesses who would testify that I'm the owner. Then the receipt, for instance, is part of it. So, at times, maybe the mudda'i may be asked to take an oath to swear. Maybe if he has just one witness, he doesn't have what, up to two witnesses, he has just one witness. So al-yameen and what, and one bayina, they are not enough. That is, that we have to produce two bayina, not two bayina, maybe the person has just one person as a witness. Then he will be asked to what, to take an oath in addition. But originally, it's not the one to take an oath. It is the mudda'a alayhi that will take an oath. The mudda'a does not have anything other than what? Oath. Because the item is already in his what? In his hand. The mudda'a alayhi. But the mudda'i will have to what, come up with evidence, because he is the one claiming the item. How this is clear? So, in this case, al-yamin will be what? Al-aniyyati al-mustahalif. The qadi that is asking you to swear. So, believes that the swearing that you are swearing is what? Is true. Hmm? You know, at times you swear. But when you swear, you are not telling the truth. You are not telling the truth. So if you say the swear should always, the oath should always be according to the intention of the one who is swearing, then a lot of things will be destroyed. If I say, wallahi, I'm the owner. Eh? Or if I say, wallahi, I did not take it. You get it now, and they give me. And I know I'm telling lie. So a lot of what? So la yutan nasu bi da'wahum, la da'a rijalun, amwala, coming or the ma'ahum. If people were to be listened to based on their claims, some people will claim the wealth and the blood of people. Walakin al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i. But the one claiming the claimant should come up with evidence. Wal-yaminu ala al-mudda'alayhi. So the one to swear is the one who is al-mudda'alayhi. So swearing is enough for him, because ordinarily the item is with him, or he is what? He is free. Just as they say, the accused is what? The accused is free. The Arabs will say, the one who is accused is free, hatta tathbut idanatu, until he is convicted. The accused is free until he is convicted. So the Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, said this on the issue of al-ayman wal-nuzur. So he has just finished the aspect of al-Iman. He wants to start talking about the nuzul. But this is going to take time. Maybe we defer this to another time. However, the issue of al-yameen, the one who take an oath, should be understood. Don't take an oath except you know you are truthful. And don't take an oath except with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you take an oath, you are not. Nobody has asked you to take an oath. Yes, your intention will be considered for taking that oath to buttress what you are saying. And you must not lie. If you tell a lie, if it's something that has to do with eating the people's words, so Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laki Allah wa huwa alayhi khadban." He will meet Allah while Allah is angry with him. Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that adkhalahu Allahu nara, Allah will make him enter fire. Allah will make him enter fire. حرم الله عليه الجنة. Allah forbid him from entering الجنة. That is for making false oath in order to eat people's wealth. So this is what wrong. And if one make an oath or takes an oath that one is going to do something, one is not going to do something. So if you know that you are not going to do it, there is no need you deceiving people. Because this is like, watch, you are promising somebody that you will do something and you know you are not going to do it. So you say, Wallahi, I will come. And you know you won't come. So this is not something that is okay. So don't swear except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't swear except you are truthful. So the one who swears by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has committed shirk. He has committed shirk. It now depends on how important the person he has sworn with is to him. If he has raised that person to the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes shirk that takes one out of the fold of Islam. It becomes a shirk that takes one out of the fold of Islam. So, in the Jahiliyyah, people will swear by their father, they will swear by their grandfather, they will swear by their mother, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected them for this. In fact, Umar radiallahu anhu committed such thing. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, لا تحلفوا بأبائكم ولا بأجدادكم ولا بالأنداد لا تحلفوا إلا بالله ولا تحلفوا بالله إلا وأنتم صادقون. So this is Umar radiallahu anhu. It shows that there is nobody that is free from error. The companions, they learned the deen the way we are learning the deen today. They fell in some errors the way we also fall into errors, and they were corrected. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man halafa billah, billat wal uzza." So whoever swears by Lat and Uzza, faliyakul la ilaha illallah. You should say what? La ilaha illallah. Because they were hadith adim bikufr. They were used to swearing by other than Allah. So, when they were Muslims, in order to buttress whatever they were telling people, some of them would say, what? Wallah. Wal-Uzza. Some of them would say, what? Wallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took them gradually, and he corrected them. Man halafa billahi wal-Uzza, falyakul la ilaha illallah. Falyakul la ilaha illallah. So that is the kafara of what you are saying. We know that the one who says wallah or al-uzza, such a person has committed what? shirk. It may be shirk asgar, because he did not intend doing that thing up to the level of Allah. But that is what is shirk. But the kafara of that shirk that he has committed is for him to say what? La ilaha illallah. This is because they were used to that before. And that's why we try to treat people gently. A malam tries to watch to bring people up gently. They will be doing some things that are shirkiyat. But you don't make takfir of them until what? You have done iqamat al-hujjah on them. And that's why you see what lesa kullu man waqa fil kufri. Waqa fil kufru alayhi. Not everybody that commits kufru becomes a kafir. What you have said or done, you say this is kufru. See the case of the man that says what? Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. Oh Allah, I'm your watch, I'm your Lord, and you are my servant. This is kufr. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what akta min shiddati al-farah. Because of the excessive joy, he made a mystic. You didn't say what? He has become a kafir for that. Because the man did not intend to say that. It was a slip of tongue. But that statement itself is what is kufr. But after reminding him for his times, and he insists that this is how I'm going to say it, then he becomes what? A kafir. This is scholars, they all agree on that. The scholars of sunnah. After you have done iqamatul hujjah on somebody and the person insists, if it's something of takfir, you kafir. If something of tabdi, you badda. But laysa kullu man waqa fil bid'ati waqa'atul bid'atu alayhi. Not everybody that commits bid'ah, you declare what? Mubtadi. If that is the case, all of us will be mubtadi on. Because there is nobody that does not fall in one or two things, in one or two bid'ah. This is very, very important. So look at that hadith. Man qala man halafa bi lat wal uzza falyakul la ilaha illallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected that. Then he said, man qala ta'alu qamirk falyatasaddaq. What was also common with them is to gamble. The kuffar of Mecca, the mushrikun of Mecca who gamble. So when they embrace Islam, this gambling of a thing still continue. Some of them were still doing it. So at times, one of them will be carried away. He say, oh, let's gamble. Ta'alu qamirk. Let's gamble. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to correct this, said whoever say what, let's gamble. Fali yatasaddaq. You should do what? You should do sadaqah. What is the relationship? Because the one who wants to gamble with you, what does he want to do? He wants money from you. He wants to take money from less. So for doing that, fali yatasaddaq. You should do sadaqah. So when he knows that whenever he says that statement, let's gamble, he will do sadaqah. He will use that to watch. To forget about that statement of let's gamble. So this is important that we understand this. We have talked about the yaminul lagwi, that is the oath that you make. You did not intend it. It's something that just fall, drop from your mouth. You did not intend it. So inshallah we stop here, because the author himself did not elaborate much on it. So we'll stop here inshallah. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now the question, a mother is living with a son. It happens that the husband dies. Will the mother observe the idda in a son's house, or will have to move to the late husband's house for the idda? A woman observes her idda, that is a widow, observes our Idda, where the announcement of the death of the husband comes through to her, unless if that place is not the place owned by the husband or where the husband is living or has rented for her. Now, in the case of a woman that is living with her son, what make a woman live with her son rather than with her husband? If there is a dispute between both of them, then, and the man has not divorced her, she's supposed to do the idda in the place of the husband, unless if that place is very far. For instance, like a woman that has come to visit her son in Lagos, and she and her husband are residing in, let's say, Ilorin, for instance. So by the time the announcement of the death of the husband comes to her, she is in Lagos. So, and she needs to travel to Ilorin. So this may not be necessary. She can do the idda in the place of a child. She can do the idda in the place of a child. But the policy is that a woman should do the idda in the place where the announcement of the death of her husband comes to her, unless if that place is not owned by the husband, either by rent or by ownership. Then in that case, she will have to go to the place she can do the idda, that which belongs to the husband. So Allah alam. But the Sheikh is talking about things to be considered when you are talking about oath. You know, if I swear now, who asks me to swear? I want you to believe me. That's why I'm swearing. I want to emphasize my statement. That's why I'm swearing. Did you ask me to do that? You did not ask me. So it will be alaniyati al-halif then. But if you want me to swear, or the cause who is looking into the dispute between me and you, for instance, asks me to swear, it is the intention of the one who has directed that to me that to be considered, not my own intention. Because the Qadi, if I say Wallahi, the Qadi will leave me. Take for instance now, he sees a phone with me, and somebody comes and they say, he owns that phone. And they say, where is your proof that you own the phone? Say, I don't have any proof. So, in the Sharia, the Qadi does not have what knowledge of the unseen. He will judge based on what he sees. So what you say is that, okay, this phone, somebody has claimed that he is the owner. And you know you are with the phone. Can you take an oath that you are the owner, he is not the owner? Then if I take an oath, so is the Qadi that has asked me to take an oath, I'm not the one that would willingly take an oath. So that we say what? Al-yaminu ala niyyati al-mustahlif. Or yaminuka ala ma yusaddikuka bihi alayha sahibuk. Yes.
You know the warning of the servant, you listen. You know that the first case is somebody who decides to make to that Allah in that
case.
And second case is they not ask him to make it because they want to establish it first. Because when they not make him to make it and they make it,
no.
The judge will not be able to judge that people that will not define the evidence.
Yes.
What I'm asking now is that, are we saying that if I, an incident happens, I don't think you would take a lot of
No, if you say the phone is your own, has anybody claimed it?
No, I'm saying that maybe the man can be here and another brother. He's saying he will not be here. He saying one lie the phone is not. He's not asking you to say it, but I don't say it. If he says one lie, it's
true. And you are not following the right procedure.
But you need to bring Madina.
Yes.
We are good.
Yes.
But now I'm saying that if he does not bring Madina, and me, I don't need to bring, but I just say my own.
Yes. Even if he claims, if claim must come first, he has claimed the phone. So the judge will say, what, where is your evidence? If he can produce evidence, so instead of the court to say you can go, you are the owner of the phone. So the court wants to be doubly sure that you are the owner. Say, okay, you take an oath that you are the owner. You take an oath that you are the owner. Because this person is unable to produce what? The evidence that he is the owner. Yes.
You know, when the judge was explaining the reasons why we take over,
yes.
The first point was that Anna and Elia did, was that the second reason was Isaba did.
No, Alaniya till Halif. Halif. Yes, that one is not what the hadith is. What the hadith says is al-yaminu ala niyyati al-mustahlif. That's what the hadith says. And the same thing as yaminuka ala ma yusaddikuka alayhi sahibuka aw bi sahibuka. Your yamin, you, your oath is what your sahib what will believe you in. Meaning it goes to your sahib, not you. It goes to the court. If I have this with you now, maybe you are not with the court, both of us, and then this thing is mine. Ordinarily, it's ordinary claim that I've made. If I say this thing is mine, if you don't give it to me, there is no, until I'm able to watch, until I'm able to produce evidence. But if you say no, it's mine. Then I can tell you, ask Allah, swear by Allah, that you are the owner. And you say, Wallah, I'm the owner. But let's assume that the court is aware that oath that you have taken, you, the defendant, the oath that you have taken is a false oath. Can he judge based on what he knows? Now he's not judging by what is apparent, is judging by what he knows personally, that this person has taken a false oath in order to take this thing. Yes, the phone is with him, for instance, but he is not the owner. Only that this owner is unable to watch to bring what evidence, to bring witnesses. Can they call the rule to say, okay, you take the phone? No, you can't do that. Yes, you will look for a way of making the truth the apparent. So, as I said, the Sheikh has just summarized everything. At times, there is what is known as what? Qara'in al-Ahwal, circumstantial evidence. The circumstantial evidence is may be used at times to rule something in favor of a person. Take, for instance, somebody comes out of a building and you see the person with knife, then there's blood on the knife. Then you enter that building, for instance, you see somebody wallowing in what? In pool of blood. What do you say? You accuse that person ordinarily. But did you see him kill him? So in that case, they will use Qara'in al-Ahwal. They may investigate. They may even maybe torture that person somehow. Despite the fact that you not have the evidence that, so that maybe he will confess. So these are what Qurayn al-Ahwal, in order to arrive at the truth. So at times this may be used, wallahu a'lam. What about a person, okay, who swears with the name of Almighty Allah that he or she will do something the next day and the person is dead or dies? Let's put it that way. Somebody who swears that he will do something tomorrow and he dies. So, that's gone. He says he will do something tomorrow and he did not leave to do it. So we say he has violated because he did not leave to do it. Let's assume that he leave to do it, he leave till tomorrow and he didn't do it that tomorrow, then the next day he dies. So we say the person has broken his oath before his death. So, and the kafara of such thing is what? Is what you have known. Feeding 10 poor people, Muslims, or clothing them, or setting free a slave. And if he doesn't have what is enough to do any of this, so are they going to fast on his behalf? Yes, they can do that. They can do that. Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك